Okay, good morning to everybody. We're on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, Sanhedrin, fourth Perek, and we're busy discussing the circumstances under which a Bezdin could be Chayza. Could be Chayza. Must be very, it's important to point out that when we talk about being Chayza, what we mean is undoing the din. Not that the Dayan has to pay for his mistake. That's not called being Chayza. Chayza means you literally unravel, start all over again. If anything was paid, it's got to be restored, etc., etc. But the alternative is that no, it may well be that the din is not unraveled. Perhaps, however, the dayan would have to pay. We'll see some circumstances, yes, some not. So if you remember, we had a stira. I don't want to get involved in all the different tirutzim. We had a stira. One place it seems to be that you can be chayza, and that was our Mishnah. We had a braisa that says no. Masha osa osui, whatever was done was done. Maybe the dayan has to pay, but you don't unravel the din. We have a stira. So we had various tirutzim. One of the tirutzim, and this is what we're going to deal with at length, and Rabbi said a little bit of a complicated sugya coming up. One of the tirutzim that we had was that there is a difference as to what type of mistake was made. Now, if you remember, we made a distinction in the name of Rav Sheshes. There's a difference between a to'o bidvar mishnah and a mistake of shikul hadas. What's a to'o bidvar mishnah? So that we saw in the Gemara last time, the Gemara discussed, it's not only a mishnah, it's a tosefta, amoraim, any member of Chazal, whatever generation, that's considered to be to'o bidvar mishnah. So the dayan surely should have known that. And in the event that he didn't, then the din is simply not a din. So therefore, everything would be unraveled, undone, and you'd have to begin all over again. As opposed to if it was a mistake in Shikul Hadas. Now, what does that mean, Shikul Hadas? I think that's the last thing we saw last week. Shikul Hadas is, says the Gemara, when, for example, you have a machloikas between two Tanoim or two Amoraim, and the Gemara does not clearly state, as it very often does, but here the Gemara did not clearly state who the halacha follows. Does the halacha follow one Tana or the other? So this particular Dayon paskened like one Tana or one Amoira. And it turns out, however, that's not the general consensus of opinion amongst most Dayonim. So we cannot call that a To'o Bidvar Mishnah. There was no oversight over here. He didn't forget an explicit Mishnah. Rather, he paskened a halacha. He took a position regarding a particular machloikas. It turns out that position is not the commonly accepted one and the general consensus, even though it doesn't say specifically in the Gemara that the halacha follows one opinion or the other, but the general opinion is that yes, the halacha does follow a particular opinion. That is called a mistake, not a to'o bidvar mishnah, but rather a mistake of shikul hadas. Under circumstances like that, what's the halacha? The halacha is that we do not unravel and undo the din. The din is done. It might well be that the dayon has to recompense the person that he made guilty, but we would not undo the din. We cannot say that that din Torah has no validity. It only has no validity when he's a Toya B'dvar Mishnah. But when he's not a Toya B'dvar Mishnah, rather he's a Toya B'shikol Hadas, so then the din has validity, and the Dayan will now have to recompense for his mistake. So that was the opinion of Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes is the one, very important to remember this, Rav Sheshes is the one who makes this distinction between a Toya B'dvar Mishnah as opposed to a Toya in Shikul Hadas. Having said that, yes.
Are we only dealing with a mumche in Rav Sheshes' case? Or?
Yeah, we'll see it coming up. But yes, bintayim, we're talking about at least a mumche to be a dayan. Correct. Now, have a look at the Gemara. We're up to, it's about halfway down, maybe a little bit higher up. First word on the line is hainu. Hainu shikul hadas. Esvei, you have the word Esvei?
Yep.
Esvei Rav Hamnuna le Rav Sheshes. So Rav Amnuna now asks the following question, and Rabbi Yisai, midavt halten kop. You have to hold your cup. It's complicated, but if we take it stage by stage, then Be'ez Hashem, it'll be just fine. Eisvei Rav Amnuna, oh, Rabbi Yodovich Shkoyach, for the demonstration. Everyone should be holding their cup. Rabbi Yisai, as I said, if we take line by line, we'll get it clear. If we do it as a blur, we'll have no idea what the Gemara is talking about. Eisvei Rav Amnuna l'Rav Sheshes. So Rav Amnuna now asks a kasha to Rav Sheshes. Again, remember, Rav Sheshes is the one who distinguishes for us between a toya bidvar mishnah as opposed to a toya b'shikul hada'as. Eisvei Rav Amnuna l'Rav Sheshes. So Rav Amnuna asks the following kasha to Rav Sheshes. Maisa b'para. There was a story regarding a cow. Shenitla ha'aim shalo, whose aim is a reference to the rechem, the womb. The womb had been removed from the cow. So that's the end of the story. We'll see what the psak is in a second. Now, what would be the halachic shaila in a case like that? The halachic shaila would be, obviously, this animal cannot give birth. This cow cannot give birth. It's got no womb. This question is nothing to do with fertility. It's a question in trefus. Is this animal considered a trefa? Now, we know that basically the golden rule of trefus is, this is a Gemara in Chulin, can the animal survive? How long for? 12 months. So if the animal is considered to be an animal that can survive for 12 months, albeit it's ill, well, then the animal is kosher. If we deem it so ill that it cannot survive for 12 months, well, then the animal is treif. What is the ramification of that? Well, number one, obviously it can't be eaten. Number two, it cannot be used as a korban on the mizbeach, etc., etc. So here comes the big question. And the animal whose aim, meaning the rechem, the womb had been removed, can that animal survive or not survive? If it can't, it's a trefa. If it can, then it's kosher. So this is the big question. Says the Gemara, Maisa b'para shenitla ho'aim shalot. There was a story with a cow whose rechem had been removed. And what was the psak? And Reb Tarfoin was ma'achil the animal to dogs. So what did he clearly hold? He clearly held that this animal cannot survive. If it cannot survive, it's a trefa. You cannot eat it. So we've got to give it to the dogs, says Rashi. L'Rav Sheshes. Rav Nun is asking this kasha to Rav Sheshes. What did Rav Sheshes say? Rav Sheshes is the one who said, Da'omar, Ta'o bidvar mishnah choizem. Remember, Rav Sheshes is the one who said that if there was a tos bidvar mishnah, then the whole case has to be redone. Everything has to be unraveled and you start all over again. Says Rashi, Ho'aim shalom. Base hiroyon. What's hiroyon? Hiroyon is pregnancy. So base hiroyon is the container, as it were, which means the rechem for the pregnancy. Base hiroyon, which is the womb. Venikras, and it's called tarpachas or shalfuchis. In Laz, it's called matritza. Okay, either way, so the rechem was removed. Reb Tarfon clearly maintained that this animal is a trefa, can't be eaten, and therefore he gave it to the dogs. Says the Gemara, Ubo Maisa Lifnei Chachomim. This story then came to the Chachomim after Reb Tarfon had already paskened. It came to the Chachomim B'Yavne V'Hitiruha. And they permitted it. Huge machloikas, they are disagreeing with Reb Tarfon. Reb Tarfon maintained it's got to be thrown to the dogs because it's a trefa. Well, then the story went to the Chachamim in Yavne, and they said, no, it's muta. Why? So they explained. She'omar toidois haroife. Because toidois, the doctor once commented, ein pora v'chazera. There is no cow or swine, a pig, that yoitzeis me'exandria shel mitzrayim. No pora or chazera ever leaves Egypt. Elo im kain, unless choitchin ho'eim shelo. A rule of the country that if anybody ever wants to export either a pora or a chazera, they first remove the womb. They will not allow it, the authorities will not allow it out the country unless they remove the womb. Why? They do not want it to give birth. Why don't they want it to give birth? Mitzrayim, as we'll see in a moment, Rashi explains, were very keen to have a total monopoly over cows and pigs. Well, if they're going to be exported and then they're going to give birth elsewhere, well, then they've lost their monopoly. Okay, very simple solution. We'll make sure that they won't give birth. How do we do that? That's what Reb Toidois Haroife is telling you, that a cow or a swine never left Mitzrayim without having its womb removed first. And guess what? As Rashi points out, and we'll see in a second, nonetheless, those animals survived. It's true. They obviously couldn't give birth. That was the main plan. But they definitely survived. So you see that what? That an animal who has a womb removed can survive. It's not a trefer, it's kosher after all. So why did you, Reb Tarfon, maintain that the animal is a kosher, is trefer, and you insisted it gets thrown out to the dogs? Is that true? There are several cows that leave Mitzrayim. They have their womb removed and they do survive. So Reb Tarfon realized he's made a mistake. Omer Reb Tarfon. So Reb Tarfon commented, as it were, about himself, and he said three words. Holcha chamoircha Tarfon. He said, Tarfon, addressing himself, your donkey has just gone. Holcha chamoircha. What does it mean your donkey is gone? We'll see in a moment, Rashi explains. In other words, that's it. I've lost my donkey because I'm going to have to sell my donkey in order to repay back the owner, the original owner of the cow that I told him to throw it out to the dogs. It turns out I made a mistake. And if I made a mistake, I've got to have to pay him back. The only way I've got of funding this is by selling my donkey. And that's what he meant. That's it. My donkey's gone. Look at Rashi for the moment and we'll carry on. Says Rashi, v'hitirua, the Chachamim permitted it in mipnei sha'omah toilis haroifik. Ein para v'chazeira. None of these animals left Mitzrayim without having the womb removed first. Lefi she'toivois hein. Because they are good quality animals. V'ein roitzin, and they did not want in Mitzrayim. She'yu matsuyo, so they should be found. They didn't want them to be available in other places. So if the animal will be exported and he would be fertile, so he would give birth, and that way a whole industry could begin elsewhere. That's not what they wanted in Mitzrayim. So a very simple solution, they remove the rechem. Says Rashi, the kochozinon. And nonetheless, even though their womb was remained, we nonetheless see that what? Demiskai mois, that the animals do survive after all. So apparently you see the what? That even an animal who's got a rechem removed from it, it might not be able to obviously become pregnant or give birth, but it can definitely survive. And if there's no need to throw it to the dogs, in which case you pass an halacha on. That's what Reb Tarfon's reaction was. That's the way he reacted when he heard that he'd made a mistake.
Rabbi?
Says the Gemara one more line. Says the Gemara one more line before we finish the story. Omar loy Reb Akiva. So Reb Akiva said to Reb Tarfon, no, Potur atom. You're potur. You're exempt. Why are you exempt? Shekol hamumcha l'rabim. In the Bach, they change it, not mumcha l'rabim, but mumcha l'bezdin. If you're a mumcha in bezdin, potur milashalim, you don't have to pay. So again, how many stages do we have in this story? Stage one was Reb Tarfoin initially paskin, the animal is a trade, it's got to be thrown out. Stage two is that Reb Tarfoin then heard that he must have made a mistake because the Chachamim said they proved from the fact that animals are leaving Mitzrayim the whole time without their womb and the animals do survive. So apparently it's not a trefa, in which case he made a mistake and his reaction was, therefore I've just lost my donkey. I'm going to have to repay. That was stage two. Stage three was Rabbi Akiva said, no, you do not have to pay because you're a mumcha. And whoever is a mumcha in Bezdin, he does not have to repay. Says, no. I'm not sure if we did you do one more? We missed that one more, Rashi. In other words, Kloimat Sorich Ani, I have to limkoir es chamoiri, I'm going to have to sell my chamoir, or lahachzir poro labailim, in order to be able to restore the poro to its owner. I was one who paskin that no, get rid of it, throw it to the dogs. Apparently, I've made a mistake. It's not a trefa after all. Yes, Rav Larry.
I want to say, if let's say an animal loses his leg, he's a trefa, right?
Not necessarily.
Oh, I thought it's a mum. I thought if an animal has a mum, then
a mum is not a trefa.
A mum is not a trefa.
No.
Okay.
A mum is not a trefa. A mum means there's a blemish. It's negeya for koyanim. It's a negeya for karbonos. But a trefa is negeya for everybody, whether the animal can survive or not. So either way, we have a machlokes. Again, Reb Tarfoin initially said the animal is a trefa, it's got to be thrown to the dogs, stage one. Then he changed his mind and he said, I made a mistake. I heard the Chachamim prove that they can survive. That's it. I'm going to have to pay back. Stage three was Reb Akiva said, no, you do not have to pay back. Why? Because you're a mumcha. That's the end of the story. Now comes the kasha. We haven't even asked the kasha yet. All of this was quoted by Reb Hamnuna to ask a kasha to Rav Sheshes. What did Rav Sheshes say? Rav Sheshes was one who made a distinction between a toya bidvar mishnah, where the din is choyza, as opposed to a toya b'shikol adas, where the din is not choyza. Says the Gemara, if Rav Sheshes is right, that what? That somebody who's a Toya Bedvar Mishnah, the whole din has to be Chayza, you've got to start all over again. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, Lay Malay, why didn't he say to him, excuse me, Toya Bedvar Mishnah at all? You are a Toya Bidvar Mishnah. The Toya Bidvar Mishnah Chayzer, question mark. Why was he a Toya Bidvar Mishnah? Rashi immediately fills us in. It says Rashi, Toya Bidvar Mishnah. It's a Mefurash Mishnah. Why are we busy discussing? Is it Trefa? When we do have a proof, we don't have a proof. Or what about Mitzrayim? You forgot a Mishnah. Why, what does the Mishnah say, says Rashi? Toya bidvar Mishnah ato, stam Mishnah hi be'elu treifas. In the parak called Elu Treifas, which is in Chulin, it says there very clearly, Nitla ha'em shalah k'sheiro, that if the womb of the animal gets removed, it is kosher. So it turns out, therefore, that what? that this initial psak of Reb Tarfon, what did Reb Tarfon paskin? He paskin that you've got to throw out the animal, throw out the cow, and give it to the dogs. So forget proofs this way or that way from your Mitzrayim. It's a Tevet Var Mishnah. A Mefurash Mishnah that an animal like that is kosher. And if an animal like that is kosher, so he's a Tevet Var Mishnah. And what's the halacha of a Tevet Var Mishnah? The din is chayzer. So why is Rabbi Akiva telling him that? What? Why is there this whole discussion? Do have to pay, don't have to pay. Is a Toya B'dvar Mishnah? Why did nobody point out that he's a Toya B'dvar Mishnah? And the loch of a Toya B'dvar Mishnah is you have to be chayzer. The whole din has to start all over again. Which, by the way, Rashi immediately points out. Look at the next Rashi. The Toya B'dvar Mishnah chayzer ulekamon porich. Later on, the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, which is what? Hocha, in our particular case, my chazara ikam. How can you possibly revamp and re-begin the whole case? It's too late, giving it to the dogs. Hare he'echila leklovim. He's already given it to the dogs. So how can you say you've got to be chayzer? Chayzer l'chayra only means when you can literally really begin all over again. Start the case again, as it were. Imagine you've got a game of chess, right? And so some of the pieces fall down, you're not sure. Fine, okay. Well, let's assemble all the pieces, put them back into the very first position and start the game again. Fine, that you can do. But in this particular case, when he's gone and given the dogs, given the para to dogs, well, you can't be chayzer on that. At best, there could be a discussion. Do you have to recompense or not recompense? What's the Gemara's cash exactly? You're a toy, but the Mishnah, you should be chayzer. You can't be chayzer unless you do tchias amis. I'll call upon him. We'll get to that shortly. But either way, what is the Gemara's question bentime? According to Rav Sheshes, who distinguishes between a toy with the Mishnah, and a ta'a b'shikol adas. And he maintained that even if you're a ta'a b'dvar mishnah, if you're a ta'a b'dvar mishnah, Rav Shesha says, what's the halacha? The whole din is chayza, start all over again. So Rav Amnuna is asking to Rav Shesha, if that's the case, then surely that's exactly what has happened in our story. In our story, the paskin that the para whose womb was removed is a treifa. It turns out there's a Toya B'dvar Mishnah. The whole case should be chayzer. Okay, I just have to leave for a second. You can pause the recording just for a second. So therefore, this was the kash. So that's what the Gemara is asking. According to Rav Sheshes, that when somebody is a Toya B'dvar Mishnah, the whole din is Chayzer. So if that's the case, in our case as well, he's a Toya B'dvar Mishnah. Nitla Ho'ein, the Halacha is, it's a Mefurash Mishnah in Chulin, that the behemoth is Kshira. When Rav Tarfa in Paskin, that the animal is a Trefa, that's why he was Machil Leklovim. It turns out that absolutely he was a Toya B'dvar Mishnah. And if it's a Toya B'dvar Mishnah, the whole case should have been Chayza. Says the Gemara, you're right. Choda v'oid ka'omar. What does Choda v'oid ka'omar mean? He's really saying two things. Choda, one, v'oid, and also. It was really a double whammy kasha. Choda, one, v'oid, and more. Firstly, you're right, that even goes without saying that the Toya B'dvar Mishnah Atom. Poshet, you're right, you're a Toya B'dvar Mishnah, absolutely Poshet. That was Poshet. It was so Poshet that he actually didn't even enunciate the Kasha. That's what the Gemara means. Choda v'oid kom. It was one plus one. The first Kasha didn't even ask him, it was so overwhelmingly obvious. Of course, you're a Toya B'dvar Mishnah, you've forgotten the Mishnah and Chulin that says that a nitla ha'em is kshera. So chada de toya bidvar mishnat. And halacha is the toya bidvar mishnah chayza. The whole din should have been resumed. That's question number one. Va'oid. Furthermore, I nami b'shikul hadas toisa. But the second kash was, even if you would have maintained that this was a mistake of shikul hadas, which was, it was not, it was a toya b'dvar mishnah. But even if you would want to fight your corner and you'd say it was a toya b'shikul hadas, nonetheless, mumcha le rabim ato, mumcha le bezdin ato, v'kola mumcha le rabim, potter mila shalem. So therefore, what he was really asking was that there's two separate reasons why you don't have to pay. Again, Reb Tarfon was very upset. Oy, gavalt, this terrible mistake, I've got to pay. I've got to go and sell my donkey in order to raise funds to go and now buy him a cow. So what the Gemara was really saying was, what Rabbi Akiva was saying to him was, listen, on two counts, you do not have to pay. Firstly, it was a Toya B'dvar Mishnah. The whole case has to be gone all over again, which of course is a bit strange. How can you start the case again when you've already given it to dogs? Okay, the Gemara will ask that. So therefore you don't have to pay. You just got to resume the whole psak din again, number one. Number two, it's true you're a Toya B'dvar Mishnah. But even were you not to be a Toya B'dvar Mishnah, even if you would be considered a Toya B'shikul Hadas, you still would not have to pay. Why? Because you're a mumche. And a mumche does not have to pay. That's the halacha. So for that's what the Gemara is saying. That's what Rabbi Akiva was saying to Rav Tarfon. There are two reasons. It's true, I only enunciated one because the first one is so poshut. But two separate reasons that you do not have to pay. Number one, you're a Toya B'dvar Mishnah. Toya B'dvar Mishnah, the case is chayzi, you don't pay. Number two, even if it wouldn't be a Toya B'dvar Mishnah, it'd be a shikul hadas, but you're a mumcha. A mumcha also doesn't pay. Fine. So we understand now Rav Hamnuna's kasha on Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes has now defended his position. A Toya B'dvar Mishnah indeed is Choyza. Why did Rabbi Akiva not say it? Yes, obviously he meant it. It was a double question.
Rabbi, I have a question. May I?
Yeah.
So, but if it's not Shikul Hadas, if it is a Toya B'dvar Mishnah, and he already killed, and he already fed it to the dogs.
It's the Gemara's question.
No, then he can't Choyza. Then he can't Choyza. He's got to pay. He's got to pay.
He said the Gemara's going to ask this question. We saw Rashi already told us the Gemara is going to ask this question. Or come on, Parich, the Gemara is going to later ask, how can you possibly talk about revamping and re-beginning the case? You can hardly do the Trias HaMesa. He's already given it to the dogs. Okay, so we're going to hold it over here. It's a complicated Gemara. So Mitz Hashem, tomorrow we'll resume from this first wide line.
Okay, be aware.